find hope for the hopeless. Opportunity for transformation. Peace amid life's storms. Only in God's free gift of eternal life. From New York, join us on the Pathway of Hope.
One of my favorite singing groups has a line in one of their songs that says, "When I was a child, I was afraid of the dark. Today, I'm scared of things I can see." These words come alive within me when I look around our world today at what I can see. Nations rising against nations, wars and rumors of wars, the cold and insensitive nature of man, and even the rising tide of immorality that has overtaken our world. But while I am concerned, I am not discouraged, because while the scripture tells us that these things are signs of the times, the Bible also gives us assurance that there is hope for better days. Imagine with me, no more crime and violence, no more drug or alcohol abuse. I'm beginning to like the idea. Our speaker today, Dr. G. Earl Knight, will remind us that while the signs of the times are everywhere, be not discouraged, because he that will come must come and will not tarry. Maranatha, Jesus is coming again.
They came to follow him, drawn by what he promised them. If they would sell all that they had, he said that God would send a kingdom that would never end, where all the poor would be so rich. And in their discontent, they heard what they thought he meant, heard that the weak would be strong. Bread would be multiplied and a hunger be satisfied. One man. planting a seed in you and me. Crying for those who cry, dying for those who die, bursting for glory.
Our text this evening is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of those that are good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. Our subject this evening is perilous time. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we realize that we are living in dangerous times. We realize also that Jesus Christ has done so much to help us to go through these times. As we come to listen to your word again, please be with us. Let these words that will be uttered from my lips touch the heart of someone who is watching this program. Help us to all be faithful, that when you come in your kingdom, we'll be able to go and be with you forever, is my prayer in Jesus' name. The world is facing some of the most challenging times we have ever seen. The economy is in its worst state since 1929. Unemployment is skyrocketing out of control. Wars are multiplying around the world. While thousands are dying from starvation, disease, natural disasters, and a whole host of other calamities. Morality is on the chopping blocks, and old age biblical principles are being challenged. Respect for God is becoming extinct, and we are living at a time where anything goes. What we thought was normal and natural are no more. Now we have what is called a new norm. While these ills are plaguing the world, unfortunately, they are creeping or have crept among the people of God. Too many of us are languishing in spiritual stupor, convincing ourselves that we are all right, while God is getting ready to spew us out of his mouth because of lukewarmness. How we will find a way out of this chaos? And how will we maintain our faith in God in these last days? How will we be able to forge our way through these perilous times? The Apostle Paul, in his letter to young Timothy, warns us of the time that is coming on the earth. He calls it perilous time, a time involving danger or risk. A dangerous time, a troublesome time, an oppressive time. No doubt Paul read the words of Jesus when he declared in Matthew, trial and tribulation will come upon the earth. Take heed, he said, that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many, and will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For many will rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, many will wax cold. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 3 to 11, the word of God says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For they will forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then exists perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget these one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. You see, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should come to repentance. My God is a God of love. Amen. I said, my God is a God of love. He is a God of grace. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace are we saved. Not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any one of us should boast. He's a God of patience. He's a God who will work with us. He will allow His Holy Spirit to work on our hearts because He wants to see every single one of us change. Change into His likeness. But the day of the Lord will come. It will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness? God is asking us as His children to put our trust in Him, to allow our lives to reflect His righteousness, to live godly in these troublous times. And yes, by God's grace, we can live lives of righteousness. By God's grace, we can live lives of holiness. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 14 to 18, Peter can counsel us on what type of people we ought to be in these last days. Therefore, beloved, look forward to these things. He said, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spots, and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scripture. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the errors of the wicked, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. And the apostle says, amen. There are many, yes, who will scoff at the Christian faith. But those of us who have experienced Jesus, we know of assurance that God's words are true. We know that God's words are faithful. And if we would put our trust in God, the true and living God, we will have the opportunity to behold His face in glory. Let's take a look at the church. You see, as people of God, we too are experiencing some radical shift in our concept of righteousness. Our measuring rod for proper conduct is not so much the Ten Commandments or the Word of God as it used to be, but rather how it makes us feel. And you can never trust your feelings. Does the actions make me feel good? Does it please me well? Is my appetite satisfied? Unfortunately, these are the type of questions that we ask ourselves. But no. When we are making decisions that will impact our conduct, we need to ask ourselves the question, is my action based on the Word of God? Am I motivated by the Spirit of God in what I do? I know the devil is rampant. He is angry with the church of God. You see, he began war in heaven. Subsequently, he was thrown out of heaven. Unfortunately, we welcome him on earth. And for some 4,000 years, he had sway. He came to Jesus when he was here with his subtle tricks and expecting him to fall for them like the other human had fallen. But Jesus met him straight up with the Word of God. And Christ went out to pray in the garden in the mountains. That great tempter, the devil, came to him. It was about 40 days already, and so he must have been hungered, would like some bread. And so the devil came to him and said, why don't you change these stones into bread? Christ said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. He went back two other times to Jesus Christ, and again the Lord said, it is written. We have no need to fear, because God is on our side. Those who are with us are more than those against us. Christ has called upon us to put on the old armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 8 to 11 to 18. Put on the old armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having stood, or having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful for to this, and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints of God. The time in which we're living calls for a lot of prayer. The saints of God must fight their battles on their knees. You see, we cannot fight like the enemy fights. The people of God must put their faith and their confidence in God. In fact, the Word of God says, hold your peace, and I will fight for you. God will always cover His children. He will protect His children. He says, you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for God will go before you. And God of Israel will be your rear guard. Not only will He fight before you, but He'll fight behind you. Amen. Somebody says, God will cover your back. When we have Christ on our side, we have peace with God. Peace and everlasting peace. Our God loves us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ dies for us. Christ dies for us. We must have faith in our God. For Romans chapter 5 reminds us that faith triumphs in trials. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. I want to thank God today that my God will never leave us alone. In fact, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare this place for you, He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. So may the good Lord bless you and strengthen you and enable you. And as we face these challenges, let us have faith in the great God of heaven. And I pray that even now, as you have observed the things that are taking place, that you will keep your faith anchored in Jesus Christ. Now let's pray that you and I will be ready, that when our Lord bursts the clouds of heaven, we'll be able to look up and say, Lord, this is our God. We have long waited for him, and he will save us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can put our trust in your word. We know that your word is clear and certain. We realize we are living in perilous times, but we need not to be afraid. All we need to do is to put our confidence in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Please bless each and every one of us listening to this broadcast today. Please bless our families. Oh Lord, give us the grace that we need to meet the challenges before us, whether they were economical challenges, whether they were health challenges, whether they were family challenges, whatever they may be. Help us, Lord, to put our trust and our confidence in Jesus Christ. So may God bless and keep us, even until that day when you shall come in your kingdom, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for watching Pathway of Hope. If you would like to be prayed for or would like to learn more about God's Word, please call 1-877-520-HOPE or 1-877-520-4673. You may also watch more of our programs online at www.pathwayofhope.tv. If you would like to make a tax-deductible love gift, please send your gift to Pathway of Hope at P.O. Box 280704, Queens Village, New York, 11428. Thanks for watching Pathway of Hope, and may God's blessings be yours today.